Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
It's with great honor we say hi to Bruce. How are you going, mate?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Good. He's got Brianna, my beautiful wife, with us.
Good evening and welcome, Bruce. So excited to have you here with us on the podcast today.
So excited. This is awesome. Bruce used to be in our life group back in the day.
That's right.
So cool. Well, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Bruce?
Sure. I'm 52 years old.
Nice.
I'm married to Kath. I've got four beautiful kids.
Yep.
Sam, Connor, Izzy and Georgia. I'm an ecologist and I have a business with a mate and I get paid to bushwalk basically for my job.
It's amazing.
Great. Yeah, that's nice.
You get paid to be out in God's beautiful creation.
I've seen
some of your photos and videos. They're pretty, it's like Bear Grylls kind of stuff with the foliage, I mean, not with maybe the stuff he does, but
not wrestling bears or anything.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, shout out to Kath and the rest of the Mullins clan. And so you mentioned you're an oncologist?
An ecologist.
Ecologist. I was going to say, I don't think you're an oncologist.
No,
ecologist.
No.
So ecologist. So you get paid to go for bushwalks, but what does that look like? Like what's a day in your work?
What are you looking for when you go for a bushwalk?
What's a day in the office for you?
Is it in an office?
Yes, often not. An ecologist is someone who studies the interactions of living things and non-living things in the environment, and that can take many different forms. But for me, it's mostly working with developments for doing ecological surveys for mining companies or for government. And also creating what they call offset sites, which is like a little national park. So most of my time is spent walking around looking for things. I get paid to look for stuff, for threatened species. Mm. I do vegetation surveys, bird surveys, all sorts of things. But so I do get to see a lot of the country and I do feel very, very special that I do get to spend a lot of time in God's creation. So I do get to look around and just marvel at what's going on.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Mm.
Is there, of all the places you've visited, is there one that's especially sort of stuck with you that you know, is your favourite?
Yeah, that's – well, I do have a favourite trip and it's not the Shire. I do have work in the Shire at the moment. I'm doing some work in the National Park at the moment and it's fantastic. Yeah, I'm loving work out the back door. But my all-time favourite trip would have to be one I did in the Northern Territory. It was over two stages. And it was looking at a project between Katherine and Gove, right in the sort of the northeast corner of the Northern Territory. And we used a helicopter to do our surveys.
Oh, that's cool.
And we got the helicopter guy to fly back through Katherine Gorge on the way back.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We're working with traditional owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
that's great.
And we were camping out in the bush. We found threatened species we weren't expecting to find. And,
oh, how amazing. Oh,
it was great. So really, really good.
That so really, really unique flora and fauna all through there.
Yeah, and even one of the old men whose land we were on, he had some guys coming out from Charles Darwin University and they were filming his dreaming story. So he actually took us to to all those places that from his dreaming and that was – quite a significant thing. No, he hadn't taken white people to those places, so that was a very special time.
That's very special. Yeah, that's cool. So what is something people might not know about you, Bruce?
Yes, I have been thinking about this question. I knew this one was coming because I don't think I'm particularly close, but the thing that I'm thinking that people might not know about me, my friends would know, but I've always kept animals and I've loved animals as as you can probably tell by my job. Mm-hmm. I breed a lot of fish at the moment. So I don't know if you've seen my fish tank. You've probably seen my one fish tank in the living area.
I think you told us about this, but I haven't seen them yet. So
yeah, so I've got about, I think I've got about 8 fish tanks and breed fish and sell fish. So
amazing. Nice. Yeah. So what kinds of fish? Because there's lots of different, like tropicals or freshwater or
Freshwater tropical. They're African cichlids, and they come from different lakes in Africa, but these ones are mostly from Lake Tanganyika for any other fish nerds out there. But
bit of fun. Cool.
It's a good distraction from work and other things.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's nothing more relaxing than sitting in front of a fish tank and just watching them do their thing, is there?
Yeah. Well, Kath thinks I'm burning off all these retirement hobbies too early. Like I've kept orchids, I've kept birds and got fish.
Yeah, what are you going to do when you retire?
Yeah, I'll take up golf.
Stamp collecting.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Is there a particular, I mean, I know we're on a podcast right now and you've mentioned to us before you quite enjoy podcasts. Is there a Christian podcast outside of the We Are the Church podcast that you listen to or you could recommend?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I suppose there's not a particular podcast, but I listen to podcasters. So I often go through YouTube.
Sure.
I'm not young enough to link up to podcasts, but but I have listened to some other different churches. My girls send me stuff, so they say, listen to this, listen to that.
Nice.
I do listen to Francis Chan a little bit. I do, when I'm driving, I play the YouVersion Bible, so that's not really a podcast, but sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
Digital media, though, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good app. So YouVersion, the Bible app on Apple Play Store and the Android.
Through the actual app itself.
You can just play and
which is great because you can flick between different versions of the Bible as well if you want to do comparatives and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
But there's even I used to listen to Ravi Zachariah as well and some others, but there's plenty of good podcasts out there.
Absolutely. Nice. And I mean YouTube's such a great medium. There's so much on there, but from a Christian's perspective, there's a lot of amazing content available on YouTube, isn't there?
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
Okay, so cast your mind back. When did you become a Christian? And can share about a little bit how you became a Christian.
Okay.
Or was it recently?
No, it wasn't recently. So I was born in the back pew of Guymer Baptist Church. And so I've been here for a long time.
Nice.
My parents were here.
Yep.
And I've always come to church.
Cool.
I guess there's always a period in our lives when we own it for ourselves. So that for me was when I really comprehended what was going on was probably in my mid-teens. Mm-hmm. I guess there was a period where I was almost, I didn't go to church as often and there was probably a gap. And, my parents were great during that period because they didn't force me to do anything. I don't know if they really understood maybe what was going on in my head, but I think they were quite patient with that. And and I think that was positive as far as I was concerned. I can't even think of what turned around. But I guess you have a crisis of faith at some point and you have to think, well, is this real or is this not real? And it was from that point that, must have been about 15 or 14 I really just owned it for myself. The reality of God was just tangible. It was more than just a story. I had prayed and really felt God's presence in that prayer, and really felt a connection more than just a story. And that was a significant turnaround for me and I haven't really looked back from there.
Nice.
And so, Bruce, you mentioned pretty much born in the back pillars of GBC. So generations of Mullins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So there are a few generations of mullers. Mum and dad
might,
came
there might
from,
be another one that comes here that we know. A couple.
Yeah, there's a couple of young
that are still around.
Yes, that's it. You say, yeah, Georgie and Izzy are regular attenders here, and George is coordinating the youth groups at the moment. So that's nice. As a dad, that's great to see her involved in that particular way, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and people would probably also know your parents then as well.
Yeah. Mum and dad, here for a long time, and dad's still very, very active here, it's great. And even having been here for so long, there's so many people here have taught me at Sunday school and youth groups and so on. So
That's beautiful.
I think Mari Renneberg always reminds me that she could remember when I was a little kid and probably misbehaving.
Isn't that beautiful? The generations and the blessing that your family have been to this community. Amazing. So speaking of GBC, is there somewhere currently within our church or the local community that you currently serve?
At the moment, I'm probably not doing a lot. I have been quite involved in the past with doing Sunday school, and I was on the CLT for a bit.
For those listening in, CLT is?
Oh, the church leadership team.
Yeah, excellent.
I almost had a mental blank. Sorry, Mark.
You got there.
At the moment we're just sort of helping out with some of the Sunday night meals, probably once a term. I am pretty consumed with a lot of work at the moment, so I guess that frees me up to be a bit more generous than probably what I've been in the past. So there's different ways that you can serve. Yeah. So it's not so much as much time, but And in the community, I'm not doing much at all either.
but you've got a lot on, so
One of the things that actually I really do like actually owning a business, and we've got a number of employees, and that is actually fantastic, and just being involved with their lives and talking to them. I think I'm very conscious, I suppose, about being a Christian in the workplace. We have a few Christians who work for us, but most of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do feel like you're under the microscope a little bit, because everybody knows that I go to church I'm conscious of that, but I really enjoy employing people and providing that, but also just the relationships we have with the people in the office. We've got a really good bunch of people there, it's a pleasure to work with them and to share life with them as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
that's so good. And like you said, serving isn't just for church. It can be in all walks of your life and different seasons. You're called to serve in different ways. So
Yeah.
I love that.
So we have all sorts of people that come in and out of our lives as we go through our Christian walk, and even just our life before that. Has there been anyone that's been the most significant in supporting you in your Christian walk throughout your life?
I couldn't name just one person. I think there's been lots
seasonal kind of.
Yeah, and I think obviously those years when your formative years are key, and I suppose when in those mid-teen years into early 20s when you're really setting the foundations of your faith in a firm way. Like Greg Williams used to be a youth leader of mine years back, and the youth ministers at the time, and there was another. So there was Neil Dawson for me, and there was another leader pastor with us, Jason Fuqua. He was fantastic, and they were really good. And even my grandparents and my parents, they were strong Christian people, a great example for me, and so that I was fortunate to have that. And then even as you're getting older, it's in the relationship you have with your friends, and so many of the people that I was in youth group with through those after school years, I'm still good mates with, many of them still come here, some of them don't, but there's still some long lasting friendships, I think it is great how things can change and how some things stay the same with those relationships. And so There's the stability of the long-term Christian friends and encouragers, and there's also being refreshed by new people coming in, whether it is even short-term things like podcasts or if it's longer-term things like, you know, even ministers or whatever it might be, or other people in the church. There's been quite a few people, so thank you to everyone. But
you know who you were. Who you are and who you were.
But even now, like obviously, Kath and I, we've been married for 27 years, and that's been great. And she's a great encourager of me, and hopefully, I'm a great encourager for her. And
from what we've seen, you are. We know you are.
So
You guys are a great couple.
You're a great couple.
Yeah. So she's unreal.
Yeah. And thinking back to your younger years, you know, some of the people you mentioned earlier on in your walk, was there something that sort of stood out for you with the way that they, you know, supported you or encouraged you in those times?
Yeah, I guess for sometimes it's even just their life experience. I was listening to Brett Davis's one, his podcast with you guys. And he was talking about having someone sort of next to you, in front of you, and behind you. And I thought
that was so good.
Yeah, and I could just relate to that so much in my the way that sort of I'd grown in my faith, and having older people that could influence you and teach you, and your friends beside you. And then I suppose when I was doing Sunday school, it's having people behind you, and even my kids, they teach me so much. So even with some of that time in youth group, we had a lot of other older people come in to speak with us or to us and share their understanding of faith or a particular passage or whatever it might have been, or even how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible, and all that sort of time spent with them and learning from their experience and in relationship with God, in just in life in general, that was really, really valuable.
Yeah, nice.
So powerful. So thinking about fast-forwarding to now, is there something that you're doing in your life at this point in time where you can see what you're doing is helping change lives through Jesus?
Yeah, okay. That's an interesting question, because I was talking about work and the people at work through a podcast. I think I shared this at Life Group with you guys about I can't remember where it was, where I heard it, but someone was encouraging me indirectly, but just through their podcast, to that they went around to the chairs of all their employees and prayed for them individually.
Oh yes, okay,
and that was really rewarding for me, and hopefully rewarding for them. But there has been moments out of that where praying specifically for them that things have come back, and I've known that it's been an answer to prayer, or something that I've prayed about, which has been really encouraging for me, and hopefully a blessing to them. But some of them aren't Christians, but they might not know yet, but they might know down the track. So a lot of them are a slow burn, but we'll keep
that's good though.
Keep chipping
that's
away.
Good. It's good. It's it takes time sometimes for the penny to drop sometimes.
Yeah.
For certain things, depending what it is. So, yeah, it's good. Okay, so we have GBC has core values, which are on purpose, big-hearted, whole life learners, others focused, and trustworthy. Which one of these most resonates with you, Bruce?
Oh, let me think. That's a tough one. You can see yourself in a lot of those. I try to be intentional with a lot of things that I do, and I suppose I am, having a scientific background, I'm pretty self-reflective and analytical. I do sort of think about what I'm doing, how did that go, how could I do that better. And that can come with a lot of things. So in some ways, I'm quite intentional and on purpose with that. But the other part of the scientific thing is learning. We're always learning. I would hate to think that I'm not going to be a whole life learner. So I think that's probably the one that I'd want to be. And hopefully I can be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're just never too old to learn and yeah, I love to learn. I love to learn new things and I'm at an age though now, I think, where my brain is full and mm-hmm. so I have to throw something out to put something in.
Yep.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I forget something. And I've got no control over what goes. Something goes. I don't know what it is.
You need to send it to the backup.
Yeah, that's it. I need an external hard drive.
You can access that later if you need it.
Yeah, yeah. Or a cloud. It's definitely going to a cloud.
Yeah. And the cloud disappears.
Yeah, that's it. The cloud's gone.
And putting so, you know, one of the core values which you touched on is learning, whole life learner. You know, from your Christian walk perspective, what does that look like for you as a whole life learner through your Christian walk?
Yeah, well, I think at the moment there's a period of time when I was flat out with kids, and I suppose that you know, you just get trying to get your head above water half the time just to get through the day and the week and the year. Mm. And I suppose some of that learning, or even being, you know, being on purpose to learn, you know, really, really suffers. I'm in a stage of life where all my kids are adults, and so they're, even though I'm busy with work, I'm using my time a little bit differently. I know Ronnie Clark was talking about, I think, how he used time in the car to listen to things and, adopted that and so now I suppose with podcasts and even just listening to the new version, it's actually really interesting, instead of reading the Bible, having it read and just continuously read, because often you stop at the different headings or the different titles or sections.
It just keeps going, right?
It just keeps going, going, going.
It'll go and to it actually, even.
Yeah.
I love that too about
it. It makes so much more sense when you actually read the whole block or a whole chapter.
And, I found that that's actually what they did back in the biblical times.
Yeah.
Everyone was illiterate. They couldn't read themselves. So that it was actually read to them.
Mm.
So essentially having like the app read it to you is kind of how you're meant to receive it.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, like, yes, most of us can read, but I think it's quite a different, as you say, experience.
Yeah.
Hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And different to a Sunday where you hear a snippet here and a snippet there, like listening to a whole chunk is actually quite beneficial.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I've really enjoyed that. But so I think I'd read a lot for work, and so I don't find it relaxing to read. So one of your other questions that might be coming up, but so what books have you read? I haven't read a book since high school.
But he's read the Bible.
Except for the Bible.
And he's listened to it.
But, because I'm reading all the time for work, it's just the last thing I want to do when I get home.
Yeah, yeah.
And so listening to podcasts and that sort of stuff is a great way to learn.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And there's so many different mediums to digest information, to learn, to hear, to share.
And life groups is great too. Like, I loved life groups with you guys, but, you know, I'm away so much. That's why it's kind of –
it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really hard to commit to something and not knowing when I'm going to be around and so on. So I'm about to go away not 7 weeks in a row, but the next 7 weeks I'll be out the whole time pretty well, except for the weekends. So.
Yeah, but, you know, different seasons, different things.
Yeah.
God uses all seasons. Yeah. So
And God will use you on that trip. Like, you may not be in your local community, but when you're out on the field, you'll be able to get – God will use you there. So, you know, it's we're not wasted when we're away from our home.
Mm.
You know, like, not that God would do that, but, you know, like when we're on holidays or when we're working afar, when God still uses us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's cool too.
Mm.
So here we are. could you share with us, Bruce, a significant time in your life or perhaps a couple of stories, if you've got a few, where you've seen God at work in your life?
Mm. Sure. I really feel like God is working the whole time. And so and you can see his fingerprints all over the place.
Sure.
And it's hard to pinpoint particular things. I know there's been some situations that have been out of my control and some situations that have been, you know, in my control, inverted commas. But
inside the circle.
Yes, yeah, that's right. But
the binded set.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
When we found out that we were having twins, So I've got, yeah, the two boys are 18 months apart and the twin girls are 2 years behind. We were living in Wagga. You know, we were living next to these retired neighbours who are unreal. So that was, you know, God's blessing number one. Mm. And they became like parents to the kids. We were actually going to Elaine's 90th in a couple of weeks.
Oh, fantastic.
That's so cool.
Your birthday, Elaine.
And we've been back from Wagga for, you know, almost 18 years. So
that's a story in itself.
Yes, yeah, yeah. well, it is actually – anyway, we'll get to that. But so when I found out that we were having twins, that was a little bit of a surprise. We had been joking around, you know, Kath was growing really, really quickly. Oh, geez, you know, well, imagine if you're having twins.
And then.
So I was actually away doing some field work and she'd – we think we had our first ultrasound at 18 weeks, which was pretty late. Mm. And of course, we found out that we're having twins. I didn't believe Kath when she told me and her mum was there. And I said, put your mum on. She wouldn't lie to me. And she said, Bruce, you're having twins.
And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Awesome. I was like that. And so the guy I was with reckoned I looked stunned for 2 days. And he was asking me for years, yeah, how those twins going.
So she four little ones under, you know.
Yeah, under three and a half.
Yeah, but, that's intense.
Exciting though.
It was exciting, sure. but overwhelming as well. And true. But so when was that? That would have been about in June, July that we found out. And then in August, you know, as we're sort of contemplating this whole thing, I just had this incredible peace upon me about how, don't worry about anything, these girls, these babies, I didn't know what they were, are going to be a blessing, and they certainly are. But then when they were born, born at 34 weeks. Mm-hmm. Kath had been taken to Royal Women's in Sydney because she was enormous and was on bed rest from about 28 or 9 weeks and couldn't put anything sharp near or she'd burst. We came home. And it wasn't long in Wagga that Georgia got really sick and I got rung up when we were at work and she had to be resuscitated 3 times and the Nets helicopter picked her up, took her and Kath to back to Sydney to the Children's Hospital. I was holding it together. I had some friends there. The boys were jumping up and down and waving their arms at the helicopter, having oblivious to the seriousness of the situation.
Seriousness, yeah.
And
sure.
That was just a really intense period of time, and had a lot of people praying for Georgia. And I don't know whether it's from all that experience and turmoil, but she's as tough as nails. that was a period where, you know, in that helplessness, you know, having prayer support and feeling leaning on God in that time just for help because you just couldn't do anything. And
you're really relying on God in that time.
Yeah, and praying for the skill of the doctors and all that sort of stuff. So, she obviously fully recovered and came back to Wagga a few weeks later. But that was a time. And then you mentioned about Wagga. Well, that was a big decision too because we felt really, really happy in Wagga. We felt that we were blessed there and that we felt that we were meant to be there. Mm. We used to joke around about, you know, if there was a job in Byron Bay, like, oh, do you want to go and live in Byron Bay or do you want to go live here? And we never ever replied. And then one came up in Sutherland and we're just like, there's a job in Sutherland.
Wow.
Should we go for it?
Do we go back to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
back to Sydney.
And my mum, she had lots of different health issues and she'd been sick for a long time, but she was finding it harder to get back to Wagga to visit us and we weren't coming back as much. And the kids were, you know, Sam was just about to start school and we thought, if we're going to do it, it's now. Yeah, But, you know, I was really torn and really confused, I suppose, because I felt like this is where we were meant to be. And so I was really praying about it. And I suppose one thing that I try to do when I'm praying is really just to, and again, my analytical self is just know when I'm just putting my own agenda into the prayer. And so I just
instead of letting God tell
just,
you
just get rid of everything that might be that might be my influence or my preference or anything like that, and just saying this decision I'm giving it to you completely. I don't want to stuff this up. And then you know I'll also pray that the option will be crystal clear, and because I'm thick as two bricks, so don't give me cryptic answers here. I want something clear.
Make it obvious, God. Make it obvious.
I really felt like God was saying, it's okay, you can go back. I'll be with you wherever you are. It doesn't matter whether you're in Wagga, whether you're in Sydney, whether you're in Byron Bay or wherever else, don't worry, I'll be with you, it'll be fine. And so that again was just another point of peace and clarity about God helping me through that sort of decision. And there's been other times and other decisions, like going into business. The guy I'm in business with isn't a Christian, and I was a little bit, cautious, I suppose, about whether to do that. And so I just laid it on the floor to him when on the table, saying, we were making these decisions. I'm a Christian. These are the sort of values that I have. I won't be looking to do anything dodgy here. I'll be playing it straight. And he's like, yeah, no worries. But again, that decision about whether to go into business with him, and it's been a real blessing. So felt that again, God being pretty clear and about what I should do, and so cool. that's been really, really good.
That's good.
Yeah.
And just trusting him through all the different seasons.
Yeah.
All the different places. Even like you said earlier with the girls, even in that trial and that moment of scariness and what's going to happen, and just trusting on that word, that clear word that God gave you, that those girls were a blessing,
and that
He had them, and
that's right.
And God's worked through all of those things for His good, and for yours.
Yeah. And I think when I was saying before about some of these decisions, I try and get rid of my own agenda. Like I do certainly pray for things and specific things. I think that's really important too. And I know in other situations, when I was younger, I used to pray, I never want to be rich because I'll just blow it. I just would be irresponsible. And so there was plenty of times in our life with the kids where we were just thinking, oh, I don't know if we're going to be able to afford this. This is really, and things that I did want to send the kids to the Christian school, and there were a few times we were just thinking, we're not going to make it. We're going to have to pull them out, and then we'd get a gift from other relatives and so on, and they say, "Oh, just put this to the kids' education," and they're like, "How did this happen? How do they know that we're struggling to pay school fees?"
Because God talks to them. God's got a good network.
God knows what we need and when we need it.
There's plenty of occasions where you can just see God at work.
So through all these things that you've mentioned, how has this changed your life?
Yeah, well, in praying for some specific things, like I have prayed for wisdom, and I think God's been gracious in helping us with wisdom or discernment. I used to be gullible as a kid, so I didn't want to be gullible anymore, so I used to pray for discernment. And so hopefully I'm not so gullible, but you can probably catch me out later on. But I prayed for a strong faith and a rock solid, and Kath always says to me, you're solid as, you're never shaken, nothing seems to shake you, that's all credit and honor goes to God for that. And I think although sometimes I can be really lax, I suppose, in my discipline with praying and reading the works. I've already said I don't read very well, but there's lots of little conversations, and I think sometimes my conversation with God is short and sharp, and it can be I'm out in the bush and I see something that's fantastic, and I just go, thanks for that, that was awesome. Mm. And or you you've you know, there's all these types of orchids, and there's one, all the individual species, one wasp fertilizes or pollinates each species of orchid. And then you just think, wow, that's amazing, God. How, and you sort of wonder, why did you do that? So you ask the question, and I think about even just the relationship with my kids and then my relationship with God, and how I love to hear about their day. I love to hear about what they're doing, as trivial as it might be, or as complex and you know, big as it might be. I think God's the same. I think he wants relationship, and you know, that's the everyday. That's the conversation here, or there. That's pointing something out, or asking a question, or acknowledging his greatness, or ask, you know, being curious about something. I think I think that's, you know, whatever the dynamics that we see in our relationships on earth, you know, many of the things that God wants to see, I believe in the relationship we have with him. And I don't think we should just restrict it to, you know, praying in one particular way at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever it might be, or if you're into a habit, as good as that can be. You know, I'm certainly not as disciplined in that, but certainly take the little opportunities and to talk to him, and so I think I'm really thankful that for the faith that I have, and for the relationships and the friendships I have amongst my Christian and non-Christian friends and colleagues and so on, and I can just see God just in so much of it. Like a lot of people would say, it's coincidence, but there's too many specific things I've actually asked for or prayed about that I've seen come true, you know, it's just, improbable to think that it's coincidence.
Yeah.
Bruce, what a pleasure it's been to have you on tonight. You're such an encouragement. I know Adam and I have loved getting to know you in our time here with GBC, and, you know, getting to walk with you at Life Group and through various other opportunities. Tonight, Bruce, you've really encouraged me about lifelong learning and being on purpose through that, and being curious and walking with God and talking with him in the everyday. I think that's something really important. There's no magic formula. God is always with us, and just sharing with him just as you would, you know, listening. I love that analogy when you sit at the end of the day and you just love hearing your kids sharing about what's going on. And God loves that with us as well. And and it can just be anytime, anywhere, and marveling at his beautiful creation. So thank you so much, Bruce, for being here tonight and sharing with us.
And thanks for all you're doing with this podcast. It's great. I really love it. It's been an encouragement to me and many others, I'm sure.
Oh, no worries. Well, thanks, Bruce, and we'll see you around GBC. Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymere Baptist Church, please check out the Guymere Baptist Church website at guymerebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.